Hello and welcome, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. You're here just in time for The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining the resistance, and remember, the revolution will not be televised. However, it will be podcast. Bum, bum, bum. On today's show, Elon Musk breaks rank and rages against Donald Trump tariffs. Could the honeymoon be over? And Saturday Night Live censors audience profanity during Weekend Update. Are fines coming? And Clem Burke dies. You know the drummer for Blondie? Relax, everyone. We didn't say Clem Fandango. All this and so much more on today's episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Now get your glove on and get ready to catch some serious shit. Take it away, boys.
We all ready to take it away. Welcome one, welcome all to another fantastic podcast forthcoming, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Yeah, it's us. My two favorite people, besides Batman and Robin. They can stay back again.
Did you tell your girlfriend that?
She'll never know.
Because no one listens to this podcast except for you. And we thank you for downloading. We thank you for watching all our social media clips. There are plenty out there, you know.
Yeah. You can find us on TikTok. Well, it's still a thing. We'll talk about that momentarily. Reddit, YouTube, Instagram, Threads, Facebook this, Facebook that. And, of course, the beautiful blue sky.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm getting more into blue sky just personally speaking.
Yes, I saw you followed our page. It was very nice of you.
Yeah, I realized that I've been on there for a while and I haven't followed our own page. Just because, I don't know. I'm getting used to it. It is a different platform, right?
Yeah, I mean, what are you finding different? I mean, it feels like Twitter before it went down some dark, you know, mega hole.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's the truth. And I didn't use Twitter a whole bunch either. I just find it, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything bad about it. It's just different. I'm getting used to it. So, yeah, I'm following our page and you should do the same.
Yeah.
Also, call our comment line. We have one, 844-48-VOCAL. Lets you use your telephone as a microphone.
Oh. Hey, we have a website, too. It's thevocalminority.net. But who goes to websites? So, yeah, find those social medias and call us if you'd like to.
That's enticing. Do you feel off today? You know, there's just those, well, Garfield hated Mondays. I'm not a huge fan of Mondays. I'm trying to change that in my life. I'm trying to think of Monday as just another day that I'm lucky to be alive. It's not working.
I found Garfield and I cut his tail off.
Yeah, what is that? Please tell me.
Well, for those of you not watching us on the interweb right now, I'm holding up a orange cattail, basically. I've learned that the attention span of the audience sucks so badly that I have to treat them like a kitty cat and dangle a little fuzzy thing so that they sit here going, what's that thing? What's that thing bouncing around? Because they don't care what we're talking about. But if I dangle something in front of your eyes.
It's that easy, huh?
So I'm told. The attention spans of this world have really fallen off cliffs. So, you know, whatever works.
They have. We're constantly feeling people's attention spans shrink on a weekly basis. Well, maybe that's because we're all overloaded with need to know news. So what do you say we give them some more?
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
I'm getting sick of you, Clem, quite frankly, okay? Every fucking week you got to harass me. What is the deal? Yes, I can hear you.
He's doing a mic check, dude. Why are you... I have no idea why you'd be so hostile towards Clem, dude.
I hate Mondays. I love lasagna, but I hate Clem Fandango. So, are we breaking down our brief headlines, or are those all coming up throughout the show?
Oh, yeah. Why don't we break those down? See, I told you I'm off.
Break it down. Saturday Night Live... FCC concerns?
Yeah, FCC concerns, which I wouldn't even have any concern at all if we were in a, Kamala Harris presidency. But with this Trump presidency, I do have the feeling that he could be vindictive about all this. I don't know if you heard what happened for Saturday Night Live, but they were doing a Weekend Update, and Ego Wodum was out there, and she was talking to the crowd, and she kind of hollered at the crowd like, what did she exactly say? She basically said, like, and those guys ain't worth a and left a blank spot, the audience yelled back, shit.
Right. Right. Were you watching it live on the West Coast? Did you actually hear it?
No, I didn't. Yeah.
So I watched it back on Peacock, and they, of course, censored it all. But, you know, it's the debatable thing. Would Trump be vindictive? Well, I don't know. Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? So, yes, he would be vindictive. However, you know, you and I have been playing with the FCC for the last 27 years, and at least on the East Coast, SNL is in the safe harbor. Anything after, I think it's 10 p.m., it's fair game.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed something odd lately, and this hasn't always been this way. I've had to wait on the West Coast for 11:35 or, you know, whenever for Saturday Night Live to start. But it's been, my DVR's been recording Saturday Night Live consistently now at 8:30 my time. So it's recording the West Coast or the East Coast feed.
Yeah, yeah. No, that'd be the live feed. I don't know how you're getting that, but that's interesting. So I don't know. Will they be fined? In the normal world, no. Not to mention that would also meet the definition of an excited utterance, as the FCC calls it. Like when Bono, I remember if you said shit or fuck or what it was, but at the Grammys, they won an award and he swore on live TV and it was deemed to be an excited utterance. So,
yeah, which is
they only want to go after if you're like overtly, blatantly trying to.
Yeah, if it's premeditated, that's when they're really concerned. Like if you wrote it into your script or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. What did she expect the audience was going to say? Did she expect them to say crap or?
Yeah, you know? No, they were sort of asking for it. Anytime you just point the microphone at an audience and say somebody's not worth blank or somebody's full of blank, whatever it was. So
yeah,
yeah.
So I'm we talk about Trump being vindictive. I could see, you know, with everything going on in our world right now and everything so important, I could see him actually taking time out of his very vigorously busy schedule to make a point out of this, you know.
Yeah. Well, he hates SNL, as we know. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
We'll see.
The Musk thing, do we have a full story on that? Or just, yeah, Musk seems to be siding with the rest of planet Earth that this tariff war is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I've got a little story about the guy that Elon Musk made a comment about Navarro, who is an economic advisor for President Trump. And he basically said, like, a PhD in econ from Harvard is a bad thing, not a good thing. And he's actually talking out against, you know, the way this tariff war is going down. And you just wonder, I mean, you don't do that when you are especially a right-hand man of President Trump. Like, he doesn't like that shit. So, nope. Is the honeymoon over? That's my question.
Well, we heard recently that he's going to be on his way out with Doge sooner than later. Probably because it's destroying his entire reputation and portfolio and everything else. So speaking out against the tariffs is not going to do him any good per se. But, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. I'm glad he's saying something. And I personally find it hilarious that whether it's Elon Musk or what's his name, Dave Portnoy, the pizza guy.
Yes, Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, to see these guys speaking up, because when the stock market tanks, I don't know that it's affecting me a whole hell of a lot, but it affects millionaires and billionaires a lot. Portnoy lost $7 million in the last week after famously saying that who cares who wins the election? If Trump wins, it's not going to affect me.
Yeah. No, I love to see some of these hardcore Trump guys coming out and saying, like, oh my gosh, enough is enough. And it's exactly what they need. Dave Portnoy is an idiot. I mean, for all intent and purpose. But I mean, we can use your voice, Dave, if you want to speak out against, you know, you losing $7 million. Other people are starting to speak out, too. Ben Shapiro spoke out. Joe Rogan has had some things to say. And I feel like Joe Rogan was, you know, a main reason of Trump being reelected this time around. So him speaking out is a big thing. So
these are all people with money you're mentioning, because I've seen them interview some mega man on the street kind of types. And they're all like, you know, I'm doing fine. Still, let's stick it to everyone. Because, yeah, you're right. If you're not heavily invested in stock markets, if you're not owning companies that have international supply lines, then I think you could probably be sitting here going, I don't really feel this much. But people with money feel it. And the billionaire class is turning on him, as they should. But Trump is doubling and tripling down. So I really do wonder how far into the hole is he going to bury us? Do we have to actually get into a recession before he'll stop? Will he pull up shy of that? Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think that he's giving up anytime soon. We'll get into more of that later. We had a little teaser on that headline for drummer Clem Burke, the heartbeat of Blondie, dead at 70 years young.
Who?
Why did I report this?
Yes,
because
<why?
laughs> I just wanted people to understand that this is, you know, this is Clem Burke. Don't worry about it. It's not Clem Fandango.
Hi, Steven. Oh. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
Yes, he's still alive and well, still mic checking, so don't worry about it.
We'll be able to report Clem Fandango dead soon. He's not lay off me a little.
So. You think so?
Yes. But, all right, good. Well, sorry for the loss of Blondie's original drummer, maybe.
Heartbeat, dude. The heartbeat of Blondie, for crying out loud.
It's the backbeat. Come on.
Oh, if you're lucky.
All right. Should we do some actual news now?
Yeah, let's jump into it like this.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Okay.
Steve Harness.
Oh, hey, that's me. What do you know? All right, so here's the thing. As I was just mentioning, with all of this international trade war, stock market free-falling, a lot of people are not actually feeling the effects of it. But this trade war is going to trickle down, and I don't know if everyone's really figured this out quite yet. Real people are about to get really pissed off because of this trade war, okay? A week ago on this show, we announced the fact that Trump and J.D. Vance were touting a TikTok deal is imminent. You know, April 5th was the deadline, and that was after the 75-day extension Trump gave it to sell it to some American company or investors. And Trump said, we're so close. We got the deals going, multiple investors coming in. You remember this beautiful update, right?
I do. I remember all of it.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you fuck around, things blow up in your face. The TikTok deal has been put on hold after China objects to the tariffs.
Objects to the tariffs? And then, well, you would think if China objected to the tariffs and put the TikTok deal on hold, did Trump would back down a little bit, right?
Right. I mean, as we've talked about in the show, this whole TikTok thing was supposed to be a layup, a fast break layup where no one else even bothered to chase you down the court. Just go walk up and gently put it in the hole. Everyone will say, nice job. We want our TikTok, considering the fact that half of America is on it. And many, many, many people make either a living off of it or certainly supplemental income. So should have been easy.
Yes, for sure.
And we were close. So here are the details coming in. And this is from Reuters. A deal to spin off the U.S. assets TikTok was put on hold after China indicated it would not approve the deal following President Donald Trump's tariff announcements. This is according to two sources familiar with the matter. Trump on this past Friday extended by 75 days the deadline for ByteDance to sell U.S. assets of the popular short video app to a non-Chinese buyer. The deal, the structure of which was largely finalized by last Wednesday, according to one of these sources, would have spun off TikTok's U.S. operations into a new company based in the U.S. and majority owned and operated by U.S. investors. The deal had been approved by existing investors, new investors, ByteDance, which is the key part, and the U.S. government.
It was as good as gold, right? Is what you're saying.
Yes. So as of a few days ago, everyone was on the same page. Let's go ahead and do this. Keep TikTok alive. And as we've been saying throughout this whole thing, China never actually stepped up and said any of these investors or people coming forward. I mean, they never said if they're going to sell. But now we have it from two sources that this deal was done last week, and now it's all been blown up because Trump had to fuck around with these tariffs.
And, you know, not only did he fuck around with these tariffs, but China snapped back, and then Trump upped them once again. I mean, he's not backing down at all on these tariffs, and it seems like he's not thinking about this very clearly, if you believe that.
Well, I mean, yeah, China's snapping back. I don't know what's going to happen. Trump threatened today on recording day. Now he's going to do 50% tariffs on China, like as if this is going to end well for any of us. I mean, we exist in a global economy. That is just a reality of the year 2025. It's a reality of the year 1985, but it's certainly right. A reality now.
Yes.
So you can't just undo that. And he's spitting in the face of China, and it's not going to end well for any of us. And TikTok may be now going away because of it. because China knows that we want that thing. They know they can make Trump look bad by blowing the whole thing up.
It's a great negotiation strategy. You know, Trump was, I watched a little bit of his press conference in the Oval Office today with Netanyahu, and he was talking about some of these tariffs, and he was saying, you know, China has this thing that they're doing to us. They're doing some tariffs, but they're also making it impossible for us to sell our automobiles, okay, in China. Mm-hmm. And they do that by doing things like they will put a bowling ball 20 feet above a hood of a car and drop it. And if there's the tiniest dent, you know, it's no good. We're not going to take it. We're not going to sell that car. So they make it so hard. You know, I would be willing to wager that when you go over to some of these other countries, they can't have all these big American cars over there. They right. have smaller cars. Like, it's a different society over there. And you want these big lifted trucks to show up over in China, driving around on the roads? Like, do something different.
No, I think it's spot on. This again gets back to the global economy. It's supply and demand. It's do people want something? And in other countries, especially China, they tend to, if they have cars, because they live in such populated, you know, urban areas, they tend to be very small cars. They tend to be very fuel efficient. And that does not describe almost any American car out there.
Right.
And, you know, they have their own companies over there that are much closer to be able to buy, sell, and trade with. So I don't think it's that they don't pass the bowling ball test. The fuck is that?
So stupid. I mean, and if you really want to think about it, you know, why don't you talk to Americans to stop buying their cars, right? It just, hey, let's buy American cars. Let's shut all their cars out, because you know there would be a war if that ever happened, because the Chinese make great automobiles. Just like the European nation. I mean, they make great automobiles. That's why we import so many of them over here. The fact that they're not importing American cars is not just because they're trying to save money and screw over the United States. They don't want the product.
Do we have factories? Does Ford or GM have a factory in China making cars? Because Toyota has factories here in America making cars. Doesn't mean the entire supply line doesn't come from abroad, but I know for fact, because my Toyota came from a U.S. factory, that right. they do have stuff here. Because, again, it's a global economy. And Trump, you know, he no longer cares about the optics of anything. In his first term, he was worried about being reelected. This time, he's got nothing to lose, and he feels like he'll just be portrayed as weak if he starts backing off. So I don't think he's going to back down on any of this stuff. I mean, not anytime soon, but he obviously should be. But that would assume he's operating from some basis of reality when none of these proposals or plans are operating in any sort of common sense world.
Yeah. No, I believe what you're saying is true. I do want to push back a little bit on what you said. And to a certain degree, I think that you're right. I mean, the people like the Dave Portnoy's, the Joe Rogan's, the millionaires, the billionaires of these this country are definitely feeling it. But the everyday Americans are feeling this on so many levels. Just even into the 401ks and stock markets and stuff like that, you know, I know that, oh, I don't know. There's a lot of people within my income that I know are talking about how much they've lost in their 401ks. And sure. It is, you know, it's significant. I mean, significant to people like you and I. It's down $50,000. It's down $40,000. So, like, and I think that that's even hurting people more than these billionaires, these millionaires are being hurt by this. But people are going to really start to freak out very soon if this doesn't change.
No, for sure. I mean, listen, anyone who has a 401k owns stocks. So that would fall under my umbrella of, you know, if you're not in the stock market, you're probably really not feeling this. So, no, I mean, a 401k is how the average American, and not everyone's got a 401k. I'm looking in the mirror right now. So maybe not everyone's feeling it that directly, but plenty of average Americans have 401ks. And as we said on the show recently, if you're in your 20s or 30s, calm down, you'll be fine. But if you're in your late 40s, getting into your 50s, if retirement's kind of peering over the hill there, I would be shitting bricks right now, because I don't know that your 401k is going to recover in the next 5 or so years. I mean, that is serious. And if an average person loses 50 grand, 100 grand off their 401k, yeah, that can significantly affect their retirement plans. Whereas I think Portnoy, if he lost 7 million, is probably going to be okay still.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably going to be all right. It's funny, dude, because I had an old next door neighbor. They moved away. They are definitely Trumpers, and I found that out by going over there for drinks one day. This is when Trump was campaigning, and I started talking shit about him, and they kind of started making odd faces, you know. So I found out a rough way. But she made a post on Facebook the other day, and it just killed me, because she was like, her husband and her are also losing money, but look, it's for the good of the country, and I am going to sit through this and wait it out, because it's going to create a better America for my grandchildren. I'm thinking, your fucking grandchildren? Well, first of all, I don't even have kids to fucking worry about. So don't act like it, you know, everybody is in your same frame of mind. Mm-hmm. I don't have kids or grandchildren, and I definitely don't want me to be screwed so I can save some kid that I've never even met.
This reminds me of somebody like in Florida when a hurricane's coming, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to wait this out. I think it's going to be okay. And then the storm starts coming, and they're sitting there like, all right, I lost my trampoline in the backyard, but I'm going to wait this out. And then eventually, of course, they're sitting there with nothing but, you know, studs and torn up drywall around them. And they're either sitting there still stubbornly saying they're going to wait this thing out, or they're freaking dead. And the last laugh is on them, of course.
Or saying, what have I done? And then it's too freaking late to get you out, you know?
Yes. Now, I know some people are drinking this Kool-Aid and saying, like, it's a temporary disruption. Trump told me it's going to be a little painful for a while. And I love this analogy that Trump said over the weekend or whatever to, I think it was Kirsten Welker, that you got to take your medicine sometimes. And that's what we're doing right now. I'm not aware of medicines that make the situation worse. Whenever I'm sick and I take medicine, I start to feel better. I don't know what he thinks medicine is, but it should not be making the situation worse, especially after you made yourself sick.
Maybe he's relating it to, you know, the shit you drink before a colonoscopy. Like, right. It's all going to be fine, but you're going to shit your brains out for the next 48 hours.
Yeah, I mean, maybe chemotherapy. Like, yeah, it's going to kill part of you and you're going to lose your hair, but fingers crossed, you may actually survive this whole thing. But I don't consider chemo to be medicine per se. So that's a weird analogy. I don't know what medicine he's been taking.
And I think we'd all have an easier time taking this. And I'm not saying we wouldn't care, but we'd have an easier time taking all of this if he hadn't said, day one, fix it quick. It's going to go quick. It's going to be beautiful. Like, I mean, obviously, you and I knew he was fucking lying, but there's half the country who didn't. Who believed him?
So. Of course. Of course. I love seeing all the clips getting played about how none of this will affect anyone. And now it's like, well, it's going to be a little painful for a while. And I can't guarantee prices won't go up, and I can't guarantee this anymore. But the good news, Nick, Trump won a senior citizens golf tournament over the weekend. So there's that.
Well, we've got that to brag about. Was it at his own course? Because I've heard he's never won a championship at any other one's, anyone else's courses other than his, which is... Yeah, kind of funny.
It was at his course, and of course, he's a notorious cheater, so I don't put any actual credence into that. But listen, I don't want a president to be so good at golf that they're out winning tournaments, especially as they're running the country into a freaking hole. Take your occasional vacation, but you should not be out playing in tournaments. And then, by the way, having the White House issue press releases as the global economy is tanking, and you're like, hey, but Trump came in first place in a big boy golf tournament this weekend.
So tone deaf. So completely tone deaf. So
right.
So fun. All right. Stuff. Well, we'll watch it. We'll keep you posted.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. So I'm here to tell you all about it. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Steven, I'm going to take you back to a story that, I don't know, I think this will boggle your mind. When I read through this, I just thought, oh my God. And Rachel Maddow did a piece on this, and I watched her give this story in a brilliant way. It's way too long to play you the audio, so I'm going to take you through it because I think it's important, okay?
That's very Rachel Maddow, by the way. She's a very smart person. I love her as a broadcaster, but sometimes her setup to a news story lasts like 10 or 15 minutes and probably could have been a little shorter. You know.
Completely. So in a recent segment from Rachel Maddow, she delved into the origins of President Donald Trump's tariff policies, okay? You ever wonder, you ever sit around and wonder, like, where did he get all this tariff ideas from? This is a bit unconventional and questionable, to say in the least. According to Maddow, during Trump's first presidential term, he asked his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to find an expert on China to help shape trade policy. I don't know why he would ask Jared Kushner to do that. Because, well, he doesn't have any idea how to do it. And what he did will show you that I'm right. Kushner literally searched on Amazon looking for book covers and titles that sounded and looked cool.
Wow.
Okay. Went to Amazon. I mean, we've heard Amazon has everything. So, you know, why not some trade policy, right?
Can we return our trade policy? Is that it's been too long?
Yeah, I don't think so. So he looked over all these book covers and titles. That search led him to Peter Navarro's book, Death by China, which portrays China as a significant threat to the U.S. economy. Impressed by Navarro's perspectives, Kushner recommended him to Trump, leading to Navarro's appointment as a top trade advisor. Jared Kushner reached out to Navarro, cold call style, and said, like, hey, I like some of your ideas in this book. Like, you got to talk to my father-in-law. We may be able to work something out. And indeed they did.
I assume all of his premises, though, are based on expertise and talking to other experts. So he wrote a book that's on Amazon. This has to end fine.
Yes, I think you're 100% right, dude. He did talk to other advisors and experts. Rachel Maddow further revealed that Navarro frequently cited supposed expert named Ron Vera in his writings. This figure was presented as a Harvard-educated economist with deep insights into China's economic strategies. However, investigations uncovered that Ron Vera doesn't exist. He's a fictional character created by Navarro, with the name being an anagram of Navarro.
Ron Varo Navarro. Ron Vara? What was his name?
Ron Vera.
Ron Vera would be an anagram for Navarro. This is like a Batman episode with the Riddler.
I mean, this you can't make this up, right? So, Navarro admitted to fabricating this persona, describing it as an inside joke.
On all of us.
The disclosure raises obvious concerns about the credibility of the information that influenced significant trade policies. The reliance on a fictional source to justify economic strategies underscores the need for rigorous vetting of policy advisors and their credentials.
So he has the same level of credibility as Batman, like another fictitious character, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so. I mean, how great is that, that you could just create a alter ego, you know, to say all the shit you want and say, like, this guy's an expert. We're going with what he said.
Yeah.
All the while that expert is supposedly you.
Yeah. I've been consulting with an expert named Tevs.
Tevs.
Yeah, T-E-V-E-S, Tevs. Me, Steve, have been consulting with Tevs.
Sounds like it could be you could have an expert on your hands there.
Right. I'm going to write some books.
So let's talk about the market today, dude, because apparently President Trump thought it was a great time to double down on his little trade war fantasy. S&P down, NASDAQ down, consumer confidence. Basically just hiding. Economists say we're inches away from a bear market. That's not a good thing. And all the while, Trump comes out and makes a little statement on truth. And I say that in air quotes. Oil prices are down. Interest rates are down. The slow-moving Fed should cut rates. Food prices down. There's no inflation. And the long-time abused USA is bringing in billions of dollars a week from the abusing countries on tariffs that are already in place. So he goes on to say, like, all this is made up. Like, everything's going great. He said on the news this morning that egg prices were down 79%.
If he said it, it must be true, right?
What are you paying for gas right now, Stephen?
Well, I'm in a pretty affordable state, and it just went back above $4 a gallon.
Yes. Okay. So I'm sitting at about $4.29 a gallon right now.
Oh, nice. Well, I can tell you the BS is at an all-time high right now in America. It's trading at record volumes.
Isn't that unbelievable, dude, that people are just taking everything he says and he's like, he said it, dude. But then you walk into a gas station or a grocery store and you see the opposite. Like, I don't know how that comes together in your brain.
I don't know that it does. And again, I think we're in this little grace window where a lot of this hasn't caught up to Main Street America. It's at Wall Street, not sure about Main Street, but it's coming like a freight train. So stay tuned. This will bottom out. I mean, I really don't know at what point he will break. And by the way, Congress, the Senate, they have the power to stop these tariffs. So who's going to snap into reality first? The White House or the two houses?
Yeah, I didn't even know that they had the ability to make them stop, dude. That's new information to me.
Yes. So tariffs used to be controlled by Congress. And then, like our military, like we just slowly started getting away from Congress and letting the administrative branch, the White House, control them. So if the Senate and the Congress were to vote, and if they made it veto-proof, they could absolutely stop these tariffs. And both chambers have introduced bills, but Republicans are in control of both houses, so if they don't bring it to the floor for a vote, it won't go anywhere. And the two that have been introduced, as of today, both leaders have said that this isn't getting to the floor because they're not ready to cut Trump off. But they can. So who's going to break first, the White House or the Congress?
I think it's going to have to be the Congress, dude. I don't see the White House breaking on this. I mean, it's just he's in too deep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on one level, Trump is so wishy-washy and so like, oh, gotcha. I was just using it as a negotiation tool. Like, I never wanted to do it. Like, I could see that. And as much as that reeks of garbage, like, please, for all of our benefits, go ahead and do that. I still need to buy a freaking car this year, and I don't need to pay an extra 10 grand for it.
Completely. We've seen all the reports come in on the fact that there is a theory behind all this that Trump and the billionaires, aka Elon Musk, are just doing this to tank the stock markets, buy up all the stock, raise and lift the tariffs, and have the stock market jump back up, and they'll be richer than ever.
I mean, as soon as he lifts the tariffs, the stock market will skyrocket. Because, first of all, the threat of the tariffs will be gone. But, a bunch of people are going to jump in and try to buy stocks that are at all-time lows. So, again, like the TikTok thing, he could get an easy win here. But, can't see the forest through the trees, blah, blah, blah. So, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We'll keep you abreast.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
I prefer two breast, by the way. Not abreast.
You are you're a racist against people who have mastectomies.
Vasectomies?
Mastectomies.
Yes. Right. Yes, I'm racist against the race of people that have had mastectomies.
You're such a racist, dude.
Right. I try. All right. Well, for those of you that have said that Trump is not a dictator, he's not the king, why would you say these ridiculous things? Well, it's come out today on recording day that Trump wants a military parade for his birthday. Because why not?
Yes. A military parade for his birthday? He never served, Bonespur.
Don't let details bog down a good birthday celebration for a wannabe dictator. He gets to play with tanks and airplanes now, and he wants them for his birthday party.
Dude, that is unbelievable. Because you're right. I mean, it is. I just picture North Korea right now, right?
Yeah. President Donald Trump is reportedly planning on holding a 4-mile-long military parade on June 14th, his 79th birthday, and the U.S. Army's 250th anniversary. The Washington City paper reported that the massive parade would flow from Arlington, Virginia into D.C. It's unclear whether the event would feature heavy military equipment, such as missile launchers or planes, as Trump had said in his first term. And I think it was the mayor of D.C. that said, that stuff will destroy our streets. Like, you literally can't run a tank down these kind of streets. But
of course,
whatever. The parade logistics are reportedly still being hashed out, but according to the chair of the Arlington County Board in Virginia, the board has received a heads up from the White House about the anticipated festivities. Now, not only is that an absurd dictator sort of thing, but correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, is the government not on some mission to slash spending? Every dollar counts.
There's some, I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's doggy. Oh, Doge. That's what you're talking about.
Right. I mean, they're just cutting down on waste and abuse everywhere. So Pentagon officials said back in 2018, when this whole shenanigan idea first came up, that the cost to put troops and tanks in the streets of Washington was an estimated $92 million. And that price tag did not account for the estimated $21 million in additional cost to the District of Columbia for just even hosting the event. Trump is claiming it would cost $12 million, which I don't even care if $12 million is right. That's about $11,900,980 too much to be spending on the president's birthday.
Go to Chuck E. Cheese and call it a day, dude. What are we talking about here? $1 million is too much.
Right. What kind of an ego freak are you if you're trying to say that it's only $12 million to spend on my birthday party for me?
Wow.
Wow. But of course, a number of 90-something million is going to be way more accurate. And just to, put my thumb in your eyeball a little further there, the total for Trump's golf outings barely 3 months into this is now over $26 million. So,
People don't realize it costs a lot to have the Secret Service out there and do all the stuff, right? So $26
million? Oh, yeah. Not to mention, I think it's a Coast Guard ship that has to reposition itself off the coast of Florida there because Trump is known to be out in the open, like, so in case planes and stuff came in. So between his golf outings and his planned birthday party, that would be well over $100 million that would just be thrown at Trump so he can play golf and have a big boy parade with tanks and planes and military marching in his honor for a guy that had bone spurs and would not serve himself and has, of course, called veterans suckers and losers and what's in it for them.
We're not even 6 months into this, dude. We're not. I mean, this is going to be outrageous. You know, his first term, he left and we were trillions of dollars in debt. And you wonder, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, this is the origin story, you know.
This is the origin story of a supervillain, for sure.
Do you have news you need to know? Like, need to know news? How about news you need to know? Do you feel like you need to know that? What if we could guarantee only news you need to know? Okay. You know, the need to know news.
Right.
I think we might be on to something you need to know.
You are.
Perhaps it's news. Let's see if we need to know it.
Pretty sure we do need to know it. I got something for you that might rock your world a little bit. We were just talking about Doge, and we're trying to get rid of all this government waste, abuse, fraud. And we're seeing people cut left and right. The parks have no more rangers to protect them. I mean, wherever you look, we're not seeing recalls on food anymore because the FDA is stripped so far back that we can't afford to do these things anymore, things that actually save people's lives. This is a little bit ironic, this one, okay?
Okay, Alanis Morrison.
The HHS services is also being cut like a lot of other things. And Dr. Peter Stein, the former director of CDER's Office of New Drugs at the FDA, was fired from his position as a result of the cuts to the Department of Health and Human Services. During an interview with Rachel Maddow, former FDA Commissioner David Kessler told Maddow that Dr. Stein, who was let go, was a very important doctor.
I wonder whether the president really even knows the extent of what has been done. Remember that night that he was taken by helicopter to Walter Reed. Mm-hmm. He was having difficulty breathing. He had COVID. He was very sick, right? He was given two monoclonal antibodies. Right. He referenced those as miracles. They were cures. All of a sudden, he got better. He could have died but for those drugs. Dr. Peter Stein's office approved, made available those drugs to the president and to thousands of others. Peter Stein was fired, was let go. I don't think the president knows that. Someone needs to walk into the Oval Office and say, Mr. President, we just fired the person who may have saved your life.
Yeah, but what have you done for me lately? Hey, Dr. Stein, please.
Yeah, come on, Dr. Stein. Not only did he probably save Trump's life, I think, God, he should have been fired a long time ago.
Right.
You know, like, maybe, just maybe.
God, we were so close to avoiding this national nightmare, but no.
Right.
Thanks to medicine.
Yeah, but Dr. Stein saved a lot of people's lives, and this is just another person that has been let go without any thought, without any consideration. These people are being blown out, and yes, we start to see some of these people be rehired, and we've seen some of them fired once again. Somebody explained this to me like, this is a bull in an emergency room setting, in an ICU, letting a bull in. And that's how we're making all these cuts. It should be done with a scalpel, right? This is delicate work of looking into these departments, which is exactly why it can't be done with such haste and without looking into it.
First of all, I think it's a horse in a hospital. That's the John Mulaney bit. That's a classic bit. If you've heard it, YouTube that one. But yeah, we should be doing all of these cuts with a scalpel, not a freaking chainsaw. I know some of these people that have been mistakenly fired have been brought back, but most of the people, like the Forest Service Rangers that were fired and are being rehired, are being done because a court has ordered it. So yeah. It's just a matter of time before Trump and Doge and everyone else figures out a way to do it legally, because it's not like they rehired them because they wanted to.
Yeah, and it is a lot of dangerous things are happening. I mentioned earlier in the podcast about the fact that we're not going to be seeing recalls of food and drugs, stuff like that. There's just no one to do that anymore. So if we have a salmonella outbreak, well, I mean, the company can try and tell you, but the FDA is not going to tell you about it. There's no one there to take that department on. And I don't know. That's very dangerous. My wife works in law and sees some of these like salmonella cases come up and stuff like that. Like, they kill people. They hurt people. And we're just not going to have a warning for it anymore unless you or I do it, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. I am curious to see what happens in my neck of the woods this summer, because I live in a gigantic forest and there's lots of park rangers around here. And there's lots of seasonal park rangers and workers, you know, that come out for the summer season. And all of those seasonal hires have been frozen and or thrown out the window. A bunch of park rangers have been fired. We have this area around here called Desolation Wilderness, and it's appropriately named. It's the middle of nowhere, but it's not too far away from Lake Tahoe, and it's a very popular tourist area. You go out there and hike. It's just this big granite, sort of looks like the moon. It's just almost a wasteland of granite with little pockets of lakes. And, you know, you can hike out there, and it's a good time and all that, but traditionally, there's been one forest ranger that is stationed out there to help people that every year get in trouble out there. Well, that guy got fired. So now there is zero park rangers out in literally Desolation Wilderness. That would be wilderness that is desolate and isolated and a popular tourist destination. So good luck out
there. What does it mean, get in trouble? What does that mean? Like, get lost, get hurt?
Yeah, if you get lost, you break a leg, you get dehydrated, like anything that gets stuck out there, you are stuck out there. And there's no forest ranger nearby to be monitoring things, for you to ask for help, to be looking for plumes of smoke or anything. Like, it's going to backfire. One problem, though, is that part is in California. So, of course, Trump is just going to blame California and probably giggle that somebody's getting hurt or killed out there. But, you know, the other half is in Nevada, and that is a red state nowadays. So it's going to ripple all the way around. So, yeah, you know, I can't wait to see how badly this blows up in our faces. Not if, How bad?
What are some of these cuts mean for fire control? You know, like I know they do a lot of prescribed burns and stuff like that where you are. Like, does that affect anything?
Yes, 100%. That's one of the big things that a lot of these forest rangers do are prescribed fires, controlled burns, whatever you call them, where, like Trump harped on years ago, we don't vacuum our forests out here, but we do controlled burns, where you try to create a natural barrier between sections of the forest so that if a fire did break out, at least it's going to hit a dead end at some point because we burned a whole big section. And yes, several of the rangers specifically fired were in charge of those sorts of operations. Not to mention federal grants for more of these programs and for more volunteers and beach cleanups after popular holiday weekends and stuff. I mean, they are hanging us out to dry, and summer is knocking on the door.
It should be pretty interesting to see what happens. I've got a good buddy who he works for Department of Fish and Wildlife, and he's been let go. And his job was specifically to look at a certain grouping of fish. Oh, we call them salmon around here. And he sees how these salmon are developing based on the temperatures of the water and what the winter season looks like going into the spring and into the summer. And he can kind of get an idea of how these salmon are going to run, at what levels, at what numbers, stuff like that. It's all important shit to our ecosystems. And you may hear, oh, I watch the salmon and think that's bullshit. But not so much when you start to see food dwindling away, when you start to see salmon get sick, because they do make changes for some of that stuff. If the water is too warm in certain areas, they have ways that they can affect change of where the salmon go and stuff like that. So all of that stuff that we never think about on a day-to-day basis is going to be affected, because it seems like a bullshit job to some.
I think it's a lot of what's going on. Some of these federal jobs, people just assume these are useless people and the results of government bloating and overspending. You know, a portion of that may be true, but a lot of these jobs exist because eventually you will need them. And, you know, again, we're in the fuck around stage. Find out stage is coming rapidly. So how long will it take for this country to implode and to turn on Trump and for his mega supporters or Congress to snap out of it? That is the heated question. And we posed that about a week ago on social media, and that clip definitely blew up, especially on Reddit. 20-something thousand views, hundreds of comments. And because, yeah, everyone's kind of wondering, when will this, not if, when will this finally backfire?
Well, unfortunately, we're just going to have to wait and see. We were hoping it would come sooner than later, but it's coming later, so.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on!
News, 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 news!
News, news, news.
Okay. Hello, Steven. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hey, can you tell Clem Fandango to pipe the hell down, sir? Thank you.
Yeah, he'll work on it.
Okay. So we've talked about the fact that, you know, MAGA often votes against their own self-interests. And some of them have started to figure out that already they're regretting their vote 2 months and some change into all this. And it always cracks me up to some extent. We're like, you know, I mentioned California and wildfires. We just saw the big fires down around Los Angeles. And Trump just assumes that because California is a deeply blue state that every one of us is some flaming lefty liberal hippie Democrat. But are plenty of Republicans in California, millions of them, I assure you, the Central Valley and down around Los Angeles. I mean, that's where Orange County is. That's a deeply Republican part of California.
For sure it is, dude. And I, you know what? I was ignorant to that throughout my 20s and into my early 30s. And when I found that out, Rachel lived down there. She was like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of red people down there. And there sure are. I mean, it's big and they got big money and a lot of power.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, a lot of people don't realize California has tons of farms. It's not all mountains and beaches. The whole Central Valley is where most of the food in this country comes from. And yeah, they're all Republicans there. But let's go to the other side of the country and talk about MAGA shooting themselves in the foot and Trump doing it, Trump loading the gun and pulling the trigger. So we had seen that fight that played out in the White House. It's been a few weeks now, where Maine's Governor Janet Mills clashed publicly with Donald Trump over the whole transgender athletes thing.
Yeah. Yes. And she said, I'm going to see you in court. I'm going to see you in court. I refuse, Mr. Trump.
Yes. And Trump, of course, immediately lashed out with his now go-to, I'm going to cut federal funding, because he feels that's just his little piggy bank. And so, I mean, but he gave away his hand right there. He stated that he's going to go after Maine and try to hurt them. And something immediately happened after that, that at first we weren't sure what was going on with it. But all of a sudden in Maine, if you had a newborn baby in a hospital, the hospital could no longer sign your kid up for a birth certificate and Social Security. Because that's the thing that happens. When your kid's born, the hospital takes care of all that crap for the new parents, and you get a Social Security number, which is not only a big benefit for the parents, but that's how you put people into our system. So you can track if they're alive or dead, how old they are, should they be getting Social Security benefits. Like,
they're documented.
Yes. I talked to somebody recently who had told me, I'm just going to keep them anonymous, but they told me that their brother had a habit, like in his younger days when he was a bit of a conspiracy theorist and whatnot, that whenever he would go to a new town, he would read the obituaries. And if he found a baby that died, he would register to get a Social Security card in that baby's name.
I've seen datelines on the same type of thing. You actually know a bastard that did it?
Yes. And the whole premise is you now have this identity in your back pocket that you can use down the road if you need to vanish or whatever. So,
highly illegal, but
of course. But yeah, this is part of the reason why we want new parents to get Social Security numbers. But as it turns out, that whole thing where Maine all of a sudden couldn't do it was intentionally done by the Trump administration to stick it to Maine, trying to get it at their governor, but the governor didn't just have a kid. So all they were doing was sticking it to regular citizens in Maine.
What are you saying, dude? That the Trump administration shut down this program specifically for Maine to screw with them?
Yes. Emails show that the Social Security Administration canceled contracts with the state of Maine as political payback against its Democratic governor. The agency has vital records, contracts with every state, allowing parents to request Social Security numbers for newborns. According to emails obtained by Rep. Jerry Conley, Democrat of Virginia, the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, Social Security staff informed Dudick, who is Trump's head of Social Security, that canceling the contracts would, quote, result in improper payments and potential for identity theft. Dudick replied to his staff to go for it.
Dude, how is this not? How can we not take legal action against this? It's so freaking wrong. This is, should be an impeachable offense, dude.
Yes. Now, this Conley from Virginia is, of course, calling on the Dudick guy to resign, but he's not just going to resign because there's no accountability in MAGA world. And Trump probably won't let someone like him resign because then that admits fault or weakness or whatever it is. So this shenanigans went on for a couple of weeks, and enough people in Maine got pissed off that the Trump administration did go back and reinstate the contracts. But just for the record, 45% of Maine voted for Trump.
Yes. These are the people you're screwing over. 45% of them. And he's even made comment on that. Like, I know there were a lot of them over in Maine. I know there were a lot of them that like me. Yeah, you don't care about screwing over the people who voted for you?
Almost half the state voted for him, and he did not bat an eye in making his staff, you know, find ways to punish him. And then new today in the news, in addition to all this, Maine is now suing the Trump administration over funding freeze for a child nutrition program.
Explain that one to me, dude. What? So they are trying to come up with a child nutrition program, and he's freeze funding for it?
Yeah, there already is a program in the state of Maine, as there is in every state, to help fund child nutrition for people that can't afford, I don't know specifics if this is school lunch or food stamps or whatever it is, but it's a federally funded program. The state pays for part of it. But yeah, the feds put a bunch of money into this program to help children who need food. And now the Trump administration, after the Social Security thing, messing with newborn babies blew up in their face, they apparently decided to freeze the federal funding for a child nutrition program. So now Maine is forced to sue the federal government to try to get taxpayer dollars to help feed children.
We already know that they only care about the unborn, right? So fuck the living kids who are hungry.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. At least you're honest.
Textbook example, because you're right. They're all up in everyone's business until the kid is born. Then who cares? Now they're just freeloaders with their mooching liberal parents. But again, as we pointed out, half the state voted for Trump. And, you know, a lot of conservatives tend to get a disproportionate amount of assistance. So I would bet that it actually is affecting Republicans in that state more than Dems. But who cares? Even if it's an even split, you're screwing with children and parents that would need that help. It's not screwing with the governor of Maine. Like, it's messing with actual human beings. So,
what's her name, the governor, again?
Her name is, I of course know it off the top of my head, Janet Mills.
Janet Mills, as far as I know, used to be a prosecutor. I mean, she's a lawyer. She's someone who has, practiced law for a while, and she's not afraid to take things to the court, which is where this all started. So if you're going to continue to fuck around, you're going to find out. You got to stop talking shit about these judges. I went to, there was a nationwide protest that happened this past weekend all around the country, and there were some big numbers across the country of Democrats, liberals showing up, or just even anti-Trumpers showing up and getting a call to action rolling because, well, we're not happy with what's going on here. There was a lot of talk about all these judges and how we really have to treat them with so much love and respect right now and be there for them because they're the only ones that are holding back some of this bullshit that Trump's putting out there. And that has never been more clear. Do not let Trump talk about corrupt judges, because a lot of these judges were not only Republican red judges, but some of them were appointed by him. So these are judges that are following the law, doing the right thing, sticking to our Constitution. Do not be fooled by what Trump is saying about these nasty judges.
Mm-hmm. Spot on, as always. I mean, I've had to remind a lot of MAGA people online recently that we do have three equal branches of government. And, you know, the Founding Fathers sort of set it up that way on purpose. They didn't want there to be one branch of government outweighing the others. They knew that we could benefit from checks and balances, that in case any one branch ever got out of whack, that the other two could step in. Now, we're in a position where two of the branches, the legislative and the executive, are in bed with each other. And I don't think the Founding Fathers ever thought that it would happen to this extreme, but here we are. So the third equal branch, the judiciary, is more important than ever. And I am so sick of people saying corrupt judges and Democratic judges. Like, you know what? Even if that is true, which, as you just pointed out, most of the time it's not. Some of these judges Trump's railing on are people he appointed or Reagan or Bush appointed, like Republicans appointed. But the fact that there's an appeals process within the judicial branch, like, it's sort of set up, and because they don't want a judge to run everything either. So no. If one judge gets it wrong, there's an appeals process. And if those judges get it wrong, they can go all the way to state courts, Supreme Courts. Like, there's a frickin' process in place for a reason, and Trump finds it inconvenient, and MAGA finds it inconvenient.
Think about this for a second. Supreme Court, it's why there's not just one judge in the Supreme Court. In the highest court of the land, you are supposed to have checks and balances. Yeah. Just don't let them talk shit about judges. Are there bad judges that make bad choices? Of course there are. I would say more times than not, the ones he appointed are bad. But they're standing up too, so we got to listen to the people that studied their entire life and took this oath. So let's not get sidetracked here.
Yeah. No, listen, there are judges that he appointed that are doing all sorts of stupid things, like that Eileen Cannon down in Florida. But, and you can also make the case that the Supreme Court has become stacked. I mean, yeah. Trump essentially stole two or three seats that, you know, that he never should have been allowed to appoint. But they're there, and they are our last hope. And at least somebody like John Roberts recently at least spoke out against Trump, saying that we should be impeaching judges. Like, I think he's going to overplay his hand with some of these judges. But, yeah, I mean, the Republicans have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and they have stacked the judicial branch. But it's the last thread of hope we have. So, yeah, don't be too quick to admonish them.
These are the problems that we're facing as of now, as you noted earlier. We're just, what, 2-3 months into this whole mess. So, yes. Thanks for being part of the resistance. Thanks for listening to the program. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies. Come and join us.
Yeah, tell them before you or they get deported. So, you know, because we didn't even get to talk about the guy that was mistakenly deported to a insane prison in Venezuela. What they call it, like some sort of logistical error or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just, and that now the Supreme Court is saying, like, hey, I don't know that we need to bring him back. So, yeah, things are very dangerous out there right now. He did have a couple of tattoos that said, I love you, Mom, right? Because that's one of the criteria is tattoos.
Well, deport Pete Hegseth. I don't know if you've seen that guy without a shirt on, but he's got scary American History X looking tattoos all over him. So, but anyways, we do need to wrap it up. So yeah, find our social medias, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Threadit. It's a combination of Threads and Reddit. And Blue Sky, check us out there.
Yeah, and caller comment line, it's 844-48-VOCAL. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
What's up, bitches? It's your boy, Joe Rogan. Thanks for checking out Nick and Steve and the Vocal Minority. The boys give you 2 podcasts each and every week. If you like my podcast, you're going to love these guys. This is my official personal endorsement. Please be a champion and blow these guys up.
Or just blow us.